I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 17th, 2026. I've been taking a little bit of a break away as I focus on resiliency, focus on my family, focus on how we're going to navigate these troubled waters. And I've said a lot of things already. I spent 2 weeks running against the tide, running against the current, getting slammed for it. But hey, it's bearing out, unfortunately. It's going to keep bearing out. The last 3 days, I've been paying attention, even though I haven't been recording, have been nothing but foolishness out of the Trump administration. Can you imagine being in a position where you have started a war of aggression? Then that's exactly what it is. Iran never attacked anybody directly. They work through proxies. Everybody likes to throw around the word terrorist. But the fact is, a large segment of the world views the Israelis and the Americans as the terrorists. It's all a matter of perspective, and I'm not saying who's right. I think there's just sides. I don't want to ascribe evil intent or noble intent to anybody. If you honestly think what the Israelis are doing in Lebanon is noble and righteous and virtuous, if you want to think what they're doing in Gaza is noble, righteous, and virtuous, well, I don't know what to tell you. I have to disagree with you profoundly. And I stick to my original assertion that the two-day war, which is now in its third week and will continue for some time, you have U.S. officials talking about it going until September. And one of the first high-profile resignations came in today. I'm going to read this. This is a Green Beret. Joe Kent lost his wife to an act of terrorism. President Trump, after much reflection, I've decided to resign from my position as director of National Counterterrorism Center effective today. I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. There is a truth bomb for you. The America First administration, the MAGA administration, is working at the beck and call of the Israelis, and I don't give a damn what Promethean Updates or any of these other shills have to say. I am convinced they're intelligence operations that are designed to keep your eye off of what's really going on, blending truth to cover over the lie, which is the Israeli administration controls the United States right now through the presidency. I support the values and the foreign policies that you campaigned on in 2016 and 2020 and 2024. Many of us, even those that live within the empire but outside of the republic, we believed in the words, the non-interventionism, the end of the forever wars and the foreign intervention and the idea of tooling back the empire and focusing on the hemisphere, the entire North American fortress idea, which is now on the ropes. This war in Iran, this war in the greater Middle East, because it's a big, broad war, is threatening to upset that entire agenda and all of the hope that it carried with it. I support the values you campaigned on. Until June of 2025, you understood that wars in the Middle East were a trap that robbed America of the precious lives of our patriots and depleted the wealth and prosperity of our nation. That's what Trump said. And for everybody who's just flipping their script, because you're in the cult of personality that just supports Trump no matter what he does, I am not among you. The words mattered to me. The promises mattered to me, and they mattered to Joe Kent. In your first administration, you understood better than any modern president how to decisively apply military power without getting us drawn into never-ending wars. It's true. You demonstrated this by killing Qassem Soleimani and by defeating ISIS. It's true. Limited usage. Even the Venezuela operation displayed limited tactical use of power to accomplish strategic objectives. The problem that I have with Iran, there is no clear strategic objective here. This was done ad hoc, knee-jerk, and you can tell that. You don't need videos from the Middle East. You don't need to parse what's AI and what's not AI. You can judge, as I've said in my videos up to this point, you can judge based on actions, based on what the government is doing, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the Canadian media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States and that should you strike now, There was a clear path to swift victory. This was a lie and is the same tactic the Israelis used to draw us into the disastrous Iraq war that cost our nation the lives of thousands of our best men and women. We cannot make this mistake again. I've said it before, that Trump is one man surrounded by sharks and enemies. That if they control his perception, if they control what he sees, if they control what comes across his desk, they only got to keep him busy and distracted for 16 hours a day, maybe 18 hours a day if we believe the stories about how little he sleeps. They can create a perception in his mind of a world that doesn't actually exist outside. And there's a precedent for this. It happened in 2016 to 2020. They did it to him then. They did it via different tactics, but the administration was disrupted. We had Russiagate, we had P-gate, we had all these false narratives. I was there. I was with you. The stolen 2020 election. I get it. I follow along right up to this point. Let me finish the letter. As a veteran who deployed to combat 11 times and as a Gold Star husband who lost my beloved wife, Sharon, in a war manufactured by Israel, I cannot support sending the next generation off to fight and die in a war that serves no benefit for the American people and nor justifies the cost of American lives. I pray that you will reflect upon what we are doing in Iran and who we are doing it for. The time for bold action is now. What he's doing is bold action. Joe Kent, what he's doing is bold action. You can reverse course and chart a new path for our nation, or you can allow us to slip further towards decline and chaos. You hold the cards. He does, but he doesn't have a winning hand anymore. As I told you painstakingly over the last couple weeks, and as you cut me down for it, not all of you, the majority of you are still here, but I suffered algorithmically. I have been rendered invisible on X. Because I'm talking bad about Israel. You want to talk about homers. The X, whatever military operation that social media platform is, the only things that get through are the really stupid takes. The literal anti-Jewish crazy stuff. Not the thoughtful, methodical, the talk about the Israeli state and the danger of Zionists within the American administration. Not the condemnation that they often ascribe to us of every single Jew. This is a picture from, I believe it was a rally in New York City, doesn't matter where it was. There is not universal agreement among the Jewish population as to the merits and temerity of this war. It's not temerity. It doesn't matter. I'm the United States, at the behest of Israel, at the leadership of Israel, I noted that Al Jazeera is in a unique position because they've always had an anti-Western bias. Everybody knows that. But now that Qatar is under attack by the Iranians, they're caught in the spot where supporting the Qatari government is supporting the American-Israeli action. And I say American-Israeli. That's what everybody calls it. But that's not how it is. It's the Israeli-American action. Israeli-led. This is an Israeli-led war. That's why Netanyahu can go on the media and brag about being a superpower now. Because the tail wags the dog. And it should be obvious to everybody, there's no strategic value whatsoever in this war with Iran. The entire talking point that they have been trying to get nuclear weapons for 40 years is some of the biggest fake news that's ever been promoted by anybody. And it's odd. The person who defined what fake news was with his presidency in 2016 and his candidacy is now the world's biggest purveyor of that fake news. If they wanted nuclear weapons, they would have had them already. And now that they have been attacked the second time in a war of aggression, which is what it is, that's exactly what it is, they have every incentive to seek them. When the regime survives, not if the regime survives, when the regime survives, because the Israelis and the Americans are often murdering hundreds, if not thousands, thousands more likely, of Iranian civilians, doing damage to their infrastructure. Trump calling it fun. He's doing this for a good time. There's idiots, and that's what they are, in the MAGA base who think this is just him being strong. He's weak. He's politically destroying himself. The Republicans had to go after the pollsters and say, stop polling on the war and stop polling on Epstein, or we're going to pull all your contracts. And all of a sudden, Rasmussen Reports, one of my favorite pollsters for accuracy, Mark Mitchell, the leader of that company, has disappeared off of X. His last post was before the war began. And Rasmussen is all of a sudden producing polls that show amazing support, or they ask questions about, do you view the American war against Iran as successful? And all of a sudden, they're showing two-thirds majorities. They've turned into fake. And Mark is gone. I sent him a message. I said, blink twice, man. Where are you? Of course, I didn't get a reply. He's probably not even logging into X at this point. Trump is saying that he's wiped out, that the American military, the Israeli military, has wiped out 100% of Iran's military capabilities. And yet every single day they're firing ballistic missiles with abandon. And you can cover it up all you want. You can throw people in jail for recording the impacts. That's what they do. That's what the Israelis do. That's what the Gulf states do. They threaten people with destruction of their lives for telling the truth. We don't know the extent of damage. But I can guarantee you, I read blurb after blurb on Al Jazeera. Drone attack on Saudi Arabia, drone attack on UAE, drone attack on Qatar, drone attack on Kuwait, drone attack, drone attack, drone attack, ballistic attack, ballistic attack. It's all intercepted. Every big fire that you see that is confirmed at an oil refinery is the result of falling debris. Are we going to be that stupid? It's an insult to our intelligence. Don't be stupid. You're smarter than that. This is a disaster. Another way that we can tell it's a disaster is the Americans begging NATO for help. You have a greater interest in the Strait of Hormuz than we do. It should be your responsibility to make sure that it's open for traffic. And China, if you don't send your warships to help us get out of this mess we created, we'll delay our summit at the end of the month. And every single nation so far has told the United States to pound sand because you're watching American power evaporate in real time. Because this was a strategic disaster. All the while, the big, powerful, vaunted, immortal U.S. Navy will not move into the Strait of Hormuz. If they were really that confident that they've destroyed everything, destroyed the Iranian Navy, we've destroyed their ballistic missile capabilities, even though they're continuing to fire, it's only a few that are hitting because the West is running. I shouldn't even say the West. It's not the West anymore. The Israeli Americans are running out of interceptors. They're doing more and more damage. They don't have to fire as much to do the same amount of damage. The Iranians are looking to sustain. All they have to do is survive and do damage. And now troops, and I've always said this, when the American military starts assembling assets, they're going to use them. When they started moving carrier groups to the Middle East, my heart told me they were going to do this. As foolish as it was, I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe they were this dumb, this administration, to get involved in this thing, because you could see, you could predict very easily the disaster this would turn into for the United States. And yet there they are. And they will not sail into the Strait of Hormuz because they don't control it. And now they're assembling troops. Do you know, 5,000 troops trying to do something will just end up being 5,000 corpses. And it's a tragedy that you can see coming. And as the world, and this is, you know, I got criticism for the world too. There's very few in the world that have the courage to condemn Israel and have the courage to condemn America for this act of aggression, which is what it is. They condemn Iran's attacks on the Gulf states. But the way that Iran views the conflict, and again, I'm not carrying water for Iran, I'm just telling you how they see it, is that every single country that hosts a U.S. base, every single country that is engaged in the petrodollar scheme is an ally of the United States. When you're a nation that's in an existential war, which means a war for your existence with religious overtones, the Shia heritage and people who have been, it's not just that they have been targeted for destruction by the non-Muslim world, but by Sunni Muslims as well. They stand alone, this 10% minority that has always been repressed and is very used to dying. You have just triggered a war for their existence in their minds. They will keep fighting. They will not surrender. They will not fail. And that's just the way it is. And this war can, as many in the administration think, it's going to go on into September or longer. There's only one choice for the United States, and that is to leave the region with their tail between their legs, or to turn it into nuclear glass. And I don't even think that will work. their bases, their factories, their production, their ability to fire, with all the bombs that have fallen so far, isn't diminished. You can kill as many leaders as you want. The Constitution virtually guarantees that a new leader will rise up. If the American administration, as Donald Trump has said, has been so successful in decapitating, we've killed one round of leadership, and then we killed another, and then we killed another. Pretty soon there will be nobody left to negotiate with. They seem to be exerting a very sufficient level of centralized command. You can see the lie by interpreting action. They have no military, but they're firing ballistics. Their navy's non-existent, but the United States is afraid to go within 1,000 miles of the Strait of Hormuz because they know the Iranians are waiting just for just that disaster. And the other NATO nations, the Chinese, they can see it for what it is. Why would they get involved in such a foolish geopolitical decision of the Trump administration? NATO does not owe the United States support for its wars of aggression, which is exactly what this is. The very thing that Trump campaigned on, never letting happen again. And to bring it back home to the Canadian picture for a second, Mark Carney's power in this country only grows stronger as a result of this. The headwinds for any, because I don't really want to get into the specifics right now, but the headwinds for anything politically interesting in this country that was going on, that is going on, the headwinds just got 100 kilometers an hour stronger. I'm afraid that in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of the big red machine's disciples, Mark Carney is looking more and more like a genius with each passing day. And I say that with a heavy heart because I've read the legislation they're trying to pass. It scares the bejesus out of me. It's going to force all of us to reconsider our approach to the world and to communication. Trump berating NATO. NATO making a very foolish mistake and refusing to join U.S. operations. Trump is speaking live from the White House. They don't want to help us, which is amazing. Amazing. And he also claimed, we don't need your help. If the United States doesn't need their help, why are they asking? Why are they asking? If they don't need any help, why are they on the phone with their sworn strategic rival? Been arming Ukraine. All Donald Trump did was shift the expenses around. So now the Europeans are buying the weapons that are going to Ukraine. There's still volunteers on the ground. There's still mercenaries operating in Ukraine. There's still intelligence data being provided by the West somewhere to accurately target bases and infrastructure deep inside of Russia. Essentially, you're in direct war through proxies with the Russians. And the president calls Putin, which is itself a signal of weakness, that he picked up the phone and not Putin, and says, we're going to lift sanctions. We want you to sell oil because we need to stabilize the oil market. So for political expediency, he's allowing the Russians to make money. Believe me when I say that they will read that a certain way. They will see the American position as weak. And they will also know that you can't trust the United States because they attacked a country again under a flag of truce, under a flag of diplomacy. And I'll tell you, if you believe Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner's version of the negotiations and what state they were in, the day that hostilities were undertaken, all we have to look at is what happened on Monday. Last Monday, oil was going crazy. It was going through the roof in overnight trading for those who are looking at it from North America. Trump comes out and he says, oh, the war is over. We won. We're going to wrap it up. Calms the market down. Everything simmers down. And then we find out he's completely full of it because we're still here today. This Monday, Witkoff comes out and says, I've been texting back and forth with the Iranian foreign minister. Total fake news. Just an attempt to calm the markets. They're lying through their teeth. They're lying through their teeth about the war going well. They're lying through their teeth about the Strait of Hormuz. They're lying through their teeth about the depletion of the Iranian military. They're lying through their teeth about they went from saying that a revolution was highly likely in Iran and it was just a matter of time. And you've got the son of the Shah, the grandson of the Shah, saying, wait for my command. To now they're finally admitting, it's not likely to happen. And by the way, back to this resignation that we talked about earlier, Tulsi Gabbard's DNI and the intelligence community in the United States told the Trump administration in no uncertain terms, if you do this, it will be a disaster. We have reports that his general said the same thing, and he decided to go ahead with it anyway. And why? Because BB told him to. That is the truth. And that's the reckoning that America is going to have to come to. Israel is not the good guy here. Iran might not be the good guy either. There may be no good guys. There may be sides. What they're doing in Lebanon, what they're doing in Iran, what they have engaged in the Middle East, just proves the absolute moral bankruptcy of this particular alliance and the one-way nature of it. Who is Israel that they can't be criticized? Who is Israel that you don't dare say a word and tell the truth about the monstrous activities of the IDF? Who is Israel that when I talk about Israel, the state, the government, not the Jews, who is Israel? That the first time I talked about the massacre that was happening in Gaza, the ethnic cleansing, I don't use the word genocide, not yet. I just don't think it's appropriate just yet. Ethnic cleansing, that is appropriate. Legalistically, look up that term. What happened in Gaza is ethnic cleansing. What's happening in Lebanon is ethnic cleansing. And when I brought that up, immediately, I lost one of my Jewish friends over that. Clearly an Israeli homer, clearly a Zionist, and clearly no humanity in his heart. And anybody that can look on this mass civilian slaughter and just shrug their shoulders or say a few eggs need to be cracked to make an omelet, get ye away from me, Satan! It breaks my heart. It's heavy. I look at my children, I look in their eyes, and I see the beauty of the Father within them. The closest I've ever come to God is in the eyes of my children here on earth. And then I think about all of the kids being slaughtered in a war of aggression that has no justification whatsoever. I think about the framing of the Trump administration trying to say it's a defensive operation. Lies. Filthy, dirty, evil lies. And I may lose the audience. I may lose my donors. I may lose what support I have. I don't take any of the advertising revenue from anybody. But I feel good to tell the truth, to say it exactly the way that it is. And for those remnants, those cultists who are still in MAGA, you better wake up, man. You better wake up because this is the end of your movement. Come November, I see it very likely that the Democrats take the House and the Senate, and every single member of the administration is going to be hauled before Congress, and they're going to have to answer for this disaster. You got airlines mass canceling flights because the price of jet fuel is through the roof. The global economy is breaking in real time, and the only answer, the only solution is the Americans have to pull out of the Middle East completely. And there are people who say it's 5D chess, man. It's 12D chess or 45D chess, whatever D we're up to now to try and pretzel logic our way through the Trump administration. That was the plan all along. That they had to go to war so that they could inevitably pull the troops out without facing political backlash. And I've read this and I'm just like, what are you talking about? Trump campaigned on deconstructing the empire and the forever wars. He could have just announced, we're pulling out of the Middle East. If Israel wants to go to war with everybody, they're on their own. He could have just done that and it would have been massively popular with the American public. It is not that. It's not 12D chess. Sometimes things just are what they are. And it's a geopolitical disaster. There'll be people in the comment section. People are going to thumbs down this video. I don't even care. Because time's going to go by. I don't know. On this day, what are we, 17 or 18 now? That should be enough for you. When they announced this thing, they said it was going to be over in 48 hours. And then it was going to take 2 to 4 days. And then it was going to take a couple weeks. And then they moved it out. It won't take years. I believe it was Vance. It was either Vance or Hegseth. I accurately reported it in one of my videos in the past. They said, "Well, this won't be a multi-year war." which pretty well leaves the door wide open to a year-long campaign. The United States is in trouble. Deep trouble. They've lost a lot of political capital around the world. They're isolated and on their own. And if they try to go into the Strait, they try to land troops in ancient Persia, it's going to be a military disaster that makes the Bay of Pigs look like a cakewalk. That's what I've got to say today. Frank Vaughn, I'll see you in the next one.